Let's read together Ezekiel chapter 29. In this chapter, we have the beginning of Ezekiel's prophecy of judgment on Egypt. Let's begin by reading verses 1 through 16. In the 10th year, in the 10th month, on the 12th day of the month, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, set your face against Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and prophesy against him and against all Egypt. Speak and say, Thus says the Lord God, Behold, I am against you, O Pharaoh, king of Egypt, O great monster who lives in the midst of his rivers, who has said, My river is my own. I have made it for myself. But I will put hooks in your jaws and cause the fish of your rivers to stick to your scales. I will bring you up out of the midst of your rivers, and all the fish in your rivers will stick to your scales. I will leave you in the wilderness, you and all the fish of your rivers. You shall fall on the open field. You shall not be picked up or gathered. I have given you as food to the beasts of the field and to the birds of the heavens. Then all the inhabitants of Egypt shall know that I am the Lord, because they have been a staff of reed to the house of Israel. When they leaned on you, you broke and made all their backs quiver. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, Surely I will bring a sword upon you and cut off from you man and beast. And the land of Egypt shall become desolate and waste. Then they will know that I am the Lord, because he said, The river is mine, and I have made it. Indeed, therefore, I am against you and against your rivers, and I will make the land of Egypt utterly waste and desolate, and it shall be uninhabited 40 years. And among the cities that are laid waste, her cities shall be desolate 40 years. And I will scatter the Egyptians among the nations and disperse them throughout the countries. Yet thus says the Lord God, at the end of 40 years, I will gather the Egyptians from the peoples among whom they were scattered. I will bring back the captives of Egypt and cause them to return to the land of Pathros, to the land of their origin. And there they shall be a lowly kingdom. It shall be the lowliest of kingdoms. It shall never again exalt itself above the nations, for I will diminish them so that they will not rule over the nations anymore. No longer shall it be the confidence of the house of Israel, but will remind them of their iniquity when they turn to follow them. Then they shall know that I am the Lord God. Let's begin our study of this chapter, Ezekiel chapter 29, with some background notes. In Ezekiel chapter 25, we began a subsection of the book of Ezekiel, which could be entitled Prophecies Against the Foreign Nations. In these chapters, we've seen God's pronouncements of judgment against 7 foreign nations that surrounded Israel: Ammon, Moab, and Edom to the east in chapter 25, Philistia to the west, also in chapter 25, the city-state of Tyre to the north in chapters 26 through 28. And now here in chapters 29 through 32, we have God's pronouncement of judgment on Egypt, which was to the south of Israel and Judah. Now, this prophecy of judgment upon Egypt is actually a series of 7 prophetic oracles, and each one is introduced with the phrase, The word of the Lord came to me. The first prophetic oracle is here in verses 1 through 16 of chapter 29, the verses that we just read. The second prophetic oracle is from verse 17 to the end of the chapter. The third prophetic oracle is in the first 19 verses of chapter 30, and the fourth oracle is from verse 20 of chapter 30 to the end of the chapter. The fifth prophetic oracle is all of chapter 31. The sixth prophetic oracle is in verses 1 through 16 of chapter 32, and the seventh and final oracle begins with verse 17 of chapter 32 and runs to the end of the chapter. Notice how each of these prophecies begins with the phrase, The word of the Lord came to me, as we mentioned. Look at verses 1 and 17 in the chapter before us, where we have the first two oracles. Chapter 29, verse 1, once again. In the 10th year, in the 10th month, on the 12th day of the month, the word of the Lord came to me, saying. And chapter 29, verse 17. And it came to pass in the 27th year, in the first month, on the first day of the month, that the word of the Lord came to me, saying. We see that the dates for these two prophetic oracles of chapter 29 are given in verses 1 and 17, respectively. Verse 1, in the 10th year, in the 10th month, on the 12th day of the month, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, this would be January 586 B.C., during the Babylonian siege of Jerusalem, and 7 months before the fall of Jerusalem to the Babylonians. And verse 17, and it came to pass in the 27th year, in the first month, on the first day of the month, that the word of the Lord came to me, saying, this would be March-April of 571 B.C., after the 13-year Babylonian siege of Tyre, and 3 to 4 years before Babylon conquered Egypt. Let's move now to our doctrinal or teaching points for Ezekiel chapter 29. Doctrinal point number one, the Lord judged Egypt with the military forces of Babylon. The Lord judged Egypt with the military forces of Babylon. The particular Pharaoh of Egypt that is in view here in this first prophetic oracle against Egypt is Pharaoh Hofra, who ruled Egypt from 588 down to 569 BC. He was a proud king, and so was his nation of Egypt at this time. In verse 3, this Pharaoh is likened to a giant monster, probably a crocodile, who not only lived in the Nile River, but claimed that he had made the Nile. Verse 3 and verse 9. This proud claim by Egypt and her Pharaoh would not go unjudged. Continuing the imagery, God pronounced through Ezekiel that he would put hooks in this proud Pharaoh and drag him and his allies, represented as fish, out of the Nile and into the wilderness, where they would be food for the beasts of the field and for the birds of the sky. We see in verses 6 and 7 that besides pride, another reason why God was judging Egypt was because they did not support Israel when Judah had looked to them for help against the Babylonians. Now we know that Judah should have been looking to the Lord for help and not Egypt, but God still held Egypt accountable for not keeping her agreements with Israel. In Jeremiah chapter 37, we read about Egypt's half-hearted efforts to help Jerusalem during the Babylonian siege. And sure enough, Pharaoh Hofra and the Egyptian army retreated and let Jerusalem fall to Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonian forces. No wonder Egypt is likened to a weak, broken reed here in verses 6 and 7. No promised support for God's people. Therefore, Egypt would be conquered, and God would make Egypt a wasteland and a desolation, verses 9 and 10. Nebuchadnezzar invaded and conquered Egypt in about 568 BC. And for 40 years, the land of Egypt was desolate because the Egyptians were either scattered or captured as slaves, verse 12. After 40 years, under the Persian government, the Egyptian captives were allowed to return to Egypt, just as the Jews were allowed to return to Jerusalem. But Egypt never regained the power and worldly glory that she once had, even to this present day, verses 14 and 15. The Lord judged Egypt with the military forces of Babylon. Doctrinal point number two, the Lord rewarded Babylon with the military spoils of Egypt. The Lord rewarded Babylon with the military spoils of Egypt. Verses 17 through 20. Ezekiel chapter 29, beginning now at verse 17. And it came to pass in the 27th year, in the first month, on the first day of the month, that the word of the Lord came to me, saying, son of man, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, caused his army to labor strenuously against Tyre. Every head was made bald, and every shoulder rubbed raw. Yet neither he nor his army received wages from Tyre for the labor which they expended on it. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, surely I will give the land of Egypt to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. He shall take away her wealth, carry off her spoil, and remove her pillage, and that will be the wages for his army. I have given him the land of Egypt for his labor, because they worked for me, says the Lord God. This is the second of the seven prophetic oracles of God's judgment against Egypt. This oracle shows how the destruction of Egypt predicted in the first prophecy would come at the hands of Nebuchadnezzar. The point of verse 18 is that when Nebuchadnezzar laid siege to the city-state of Tyre, his army did not get paid by the spoils of war because the siege lasted 13 long years, from 585 BC down to 572 BC, and during that time, Tyre moved her wealth off the mainland. Remember, we saw back in chapter 26 that Nebuchadnezzar would conquer the mainland city of Tyre, but not the island city of Tyre, where Tyre either stored its wealth or shipped it off to safety. Nebuchadnezzar's soldiers had bald heads and raw shoulders as a result of long use of helmets and shoulder loads during the prolonged siege, in which they received no spoils of war. So the Lord said that the spoils of Egypt would be the wages for Nebuchadnezzar's army, because they were doing the Lord's work in besieging the proud city-state of Tyre. Verse 20. Now that's an interesting biblical truth, isn't it? The Lord is no man's debtor. Even when he uses foreign armies to do his work, he does not take advantage of them unfairly. Nebuchadnezzar and his Babylonian military forces did conquer Egypt, as we said in about 568 BC. And the Lord rewarded Babylon with the material spoils of Egypt. Now, what about practical application from Ezekiel chapter 29? Let's reap the benefits of fulfilled prophecy. Let's reap the benefits of fulfilled prophecy. Verse 21. In that day, I will cause the horn of the house of Israel to spring forth, and I will open your mouth to speak in their midst. Then they shall know that I am the Lord. The day that Ezekiel is speaking of here is the day when the prophecies concerning Egypt would be fulfilled. Notice three results that would take place as a result of this fulfilled prophecy. Number one, the horn of the house of Israel would spring forth. Horn here is symbolic of power. As a result of this fulfilled prophecy, Israel would gain strength in the midst of her enemies. Number two, Ezekiel's mouth would be open. Now, Ezekiel was no longer dumb, as in chapter 3, but now his words would carry more weight and authority before the people because his prophecies were continuing to be fulfilled. And number three, the people would know that God was in control. Four times in this chapter, we read, "Then they shall know that I am the Lord." Verse 6, verse 9, verse 16, verse 21. Now, do you see the practical application? As we study fulfilled prophecy and see how God has been true to his word down to the last detail, we gain strength and confidence in the faith, and our testimony is backed up with weight and authority. And the people to whom we minister come to know the sovereign control of the Lord in all things. You know, this has certainly been true in my own life as I've studied and taught fulfilled prophecy as a Christian evidence. So let's reap the benefits of fulfilled prophecy.